Isn't the Lord good tonight? Has he done something for you? Amen. Then shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hey, that sounds good. Amen. I tell you, as they were singing that song, I was thinking about all the things in this life that we currently live in, the time that we live in, let me phrase that, the time that we live in, we rely on so many things. We rely on technology. How many here has a phone?
How many in here has two phones?
I used to have two phones. I had one for personal use and one for work. Amen. Thank you, Brother Isaac. Amen. Lean on all kinds of things. We lean on other people's information. We rely on the internet. It's already been said we rely on Google if we have a symptom or we see something. There's this one really cool feature that I did not, I mean, it's been around for a while, but I've never utilized it. You can take a picture of something on the internet. I believe it's actually Google, and it's a Google image search. You can take a picture of something. It'll tell you what it is. So we was at this lady's house the other day, and we were doing a pool consultation, and she's like, you know, they're going to have to tear out a bunch of this stuff, and there's this one void. She's got all this whole line of trees, but there's this one spot where there's no shrub, and she's like, I'm going to have to try and figure out what kind of shrub this is so I can go down and get another one to put in that void, that space. And I said, well, I can help you with that. I thought, I've been looking for an opportunity to try this bit of technology because I knew what it was, pretty sure I knew what it was, but I was going to verify, you know, double check. And that way it's not all my fault if that's what I'm wrong, you know, I can blame it on the internet. So I whipped out my phone, Brother Terry, and I take a picture of it, and it was an American holly tree. You know, I knew it was a form of holly tree, Brother Robert. I wasn't exactly sure 100% that it was American. You know, there's several different breeds of them or types of them out there. But I was leaning on technology, but I was also trying to lean on my own intelligence. Now, I'm glad my wife's not in here to argue this fact, but I didn't pull on Brother Robert's strings any now. Be quiet over there. I feel, Sister Janie, that I'm pretty smart on some things. Now, there are some things that I am not. And me and my wife was putting some stuff together the other night, and I was going through there, Brother Matthew, and I set the manual where the manual belongs, away from where I'm working. Well, lo and behold, there was two different types of screws, Brother Robert. And there was one that was category A and one that was category C. There wasn't very many of the C's, so I didn't even acknowledge that they were even there. And I'm going down through there, and I'm putting stuff together, you know, just going after it. And all of a sudden, I'm trying to put this one screw in, and it starts, but it doesn't go all the way. So what do I do? Out comes the power tool. It's like, well, if it's going to be stubborn, I'll make sure it goes on in. I got it almost all the way, and then I realized there's something different about this bracket than all the rest. So what do? I go over there to the manual, I open it up, it says, use type C screws. I'm like, huh. Done boogered the screw up, the other one up, and I was like, man, hopefully I can salvage this. And guess what? It was salvageable. It went back together. Went the way it was supposed to, but I was leaning on my own knowledge. Now, there is a manual for our life, but so many times we want to try and figure it out ourselves. We want to do it our way. Do I have any I want it my way people in here? Let's be honest now. So I'm not, well, this message here tonight isn't just for me, and it's not. You can have it your way. I want to talk to us about just a simple thought, and I promise not to keep you too long. That means go ahead and start the timer. It's going to be long. No, I'm going to really try not to do that tonight. But there is something that this generation needs to be determined for. This generation needs to be determined to secure freedom for the next generation. How can we secure freedom? By showing them the right way to utilize the manual. Now, does anybody know, I'm going to see how up we are on stuff, anybody know what generation that we are in right now? Grant? Incorrect. It is not Gen Z. Nick, somebody else want to take a shot at this? Brother Matthew? No. We are in, and this surprised me. I've done quite a bit of research about this. We are actually in what they term Generation Alpha. It's a new generation. And I was blown away by this. From 2000, and I'll go through some of these here in just a minute, but I want to kind of educate us on this. And then I want to dive into my message, because we kind of forget the different generations that we are. Now, we have the first generation, the lost generation, which was born from 1883 to 1900. Then we have the greatest generation, which was also known as the GI generation, the government issue generation, because they fought the Great Depression. A lot of them fought in World War II. Then we have the silent generation, born in 1925 to 1945. Then we have the baby boomer generation, 1946 through 1964. Do I have any baby boomers in here? I knew we had a couple. And then we had Generation X, which was born between 1965 and 1980. Do we have any Generation X here? Okay. Now, I'm going to have to skip over Generation X. You guys have had a few failures in your life. It's just the facts. But that's what they were actually noted for in history. You go back and read about them. Read about some of it. It might not have been you per se, but your generation. There has been a breakdown. Every generation has looked at different perspectives of life and have been willing to fight. We can look at the greatest generation. They fought and lost in the war. The silent generation, the baby boomer generation, Generation X, they were also known as the baby busters. They decided, listen, there was way too many of my brothers and sisters. I'm not going to repeat the same thing that my parents did. It was just the facts. They were selfish. It was a selfish generation. I want to have what I want to have. They also, we have Generation Y, which was born between 1981 and 1996. This demographic is more referred to as millennials. Now, I was born in this generation, but I am far from a millennial. I kind of feel like, and my mom and dad will probably be watching this later. Mom and dad, if you're watching later, I kind of felt like I might have been raised closer to the Great Depression. It was work, son. Work. There was always great reward. Don't get me wrong. But Brother Robert, before there was ever reward, there was work. And that's why I never really connected with my generation. I still have a hard time connecting with them. I can connect way better with the generation before, or even the baby boomers, because of how I was raised. And I'm thankful for how I was raised. But a lot of them are like, did what? You didn't have an allowance? It's like, no, I worked for everything I got. My allowance was that I got drug everywhere I went. I got drug to church. I got drug to the cornfield. I got drug out to the garage. I even got drugged to the woodshed. Does anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? And then we have Generation Z, which is also known as the iGen. They have not, and those are from 1997 to 2012. They were born with a device in their hand. And now we have Generation Alpha. They are going to be, this is the generation that we are trying to reach. That's the current generation from 2014 to 2024 or 2025. This is the generation that we're raising right now. This generation is going to be more diverse, more anti-gathering, and more all about what I want. They're going to be more selfish than what different generations in the past have been because they have more knowledge. Now, with every generation, the previous generation would always, and I'm going somewhere with this, I just want to kind of lay the groundwork here. There's always been, the generation before has always tried to make a way for the next generation. They wanted to make life better. They wanted to make life easier. They wanted to make sure their kids didn't have to go through what they went through. I can remember my grandma and grandpa, Sanders and Goff, both. They wouldn't waste nothing. Anybody know what a butter bucket is? Hella, you know, Betty Crocker's. Swan's bucket, anybody know what Swan's bucket is? You know those two? My grandparents had a lot of those. That was their Tupperware. You never knew what you were going to get into. It could be fruit. It could be spaghetti. It could be something that was forgot about. But they saved everything. Everything except butter. There was no butter in there. They saved everything. Nothing was wasted. It was always kept back. And when it was to the point where they could no longer consume it, it would go to the livestock, to the hogs. Nothing was ever wasted. The millennials are wasteful, wasteful, wasteful. We're excessive. Well, you know, you can get a four pieces of chickens, which is all you need, for $4.99. But they have the 8-piece on there for $10.99. I think I'll get that. I'll get the bigger one, even though I know I'm not going to eat it. I'm just going to go ahead and get it because I can. My generation, if we don't wake up, as the church cannot realize that we've got to be able to reach to every one of these generations and point them to something that's already been paid for. Every generation tried to pave a way to set up an inheritance because they wanted the next generation to realize that there was something that they did that was bought and paid for that they, the generation, the current generation, did not have to work for. And that's what I just want to preach to us here tonight is simply this. It's already paid for. Generation after generation would do extra work, put in extra hours to have something that was already paid for. So when their children came up, they could obtain something that they didn't have to work for. It was a gift. Let me tell you something about something that we have been given that is already paid for. Jesus Christ, I'm preaching an old message. This has been around, amen, for over 2,000 years. It's already been paid for. Your life, amen, amen, your eternity has already been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. It's a matter, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to be like the generations have been time and time again that just squander what the previous generation has set up for them? Or are we going to take what has been bought and paid for and are we going to invest it into the kingdom of God? I'm going somewhere. I know I haven't read my scripture yet, but I want to kind of give us foundation here this evening. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 21. Amen. I'm going to read a few verses here. You would stand for the reading of God's word, and you're going to be like, man, you've already been preaching for a while now. 15 minutes I've been going, and you're not asleep yet. Praise the Lord. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. Now, husbands and wives, you like it whenever you ask the other something and they don't say anything back. How does it make you feel? A little maybe fury, a little fire, maybe a smoldering stone sitting there just ready to strike him down. A little indignation, not righteous. A little frustration. The follow-up word is not have mercy and hear me. It's usually, do you not hear what I said? What's wrong with your ears? Heard that a lot growing up. Mom and Dad, I love you. Oh, man. It's great, isn't it? That's what had happened. She called after him. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, say this with me, Great is thy faith. Be it unto you even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay. I pray that you would bless the front of this sanctuary, God. Make these altars, God, as living altars, God, that we come to the place and offer ourselves thereon here tonight. God, I pray you've already paid for it. It's already been presented. It's just up to us, God, to invest our time and invest our ministry, God. Right now, open up our eyes. Help us to draw closer in your name. We pray, and the church said, Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you're seated. Amen. It's already paid for. Now, there was a huge movement here a few years back. It was all about paying it forward. Anybody remember that? Go through the drive-thru and guess what? The guy in front of you just paid for all your food. We're like, wow, that was $35 worth of stuff, you know? You didn't find out it was paid for until you got to the register. That's what it's done that way for a reason. But so many times we just take the blessing and we go on. We've all been given a gift. This gift called salvation. There's also something else that we've been given, but so many times we just push it off to the side. This thing called the Holy Ghost. Am I the only one that's ever heard of that? We think it's a one-time experience, Brother Matthew. We just get it once. Hey, I'm good to go. Don't need it no more. I done got it. No. That's not what's supposed to happen. Miss Pepper, we've got to find ourselves constantly. It's been paid for. Taking advantage. So that when we go out into the world, we can show them the reward that is given. Anybody that receives an inheritance and they get something that was unexpected. They didn't even know they were getting anything. All of a sudden the phone call's made. Yes, is this Jim? Yeah, this is Jim. Hey, Jim, did you happen to know, do you have an uncle or a great uncle named Mr. Smith? Oh, yeah. I ain't seen him in 20 plus years. Well, you must have made an impact on his life because he left you something. Oh, I didn't expect that. I didn't know he had anything. But it was something that he set aside. And it's got your name on it. Let me tell you something, church. There is a blessing. There is an answer to your heart's cry. There is, amen, a miracle, amen, that's on its way. It's got your name on it. It's already been paid for. But there is some things that we've got to do in order to obtain it. So many times we want to treat God like a drive-thru. We want to go up and put our 10 cents in and our five-minute prayer and expect God to give us our Happy Meal. I'm here to tell you tonight, it was already bought and paid for, but there's some procedures that we've got to go through. It's not just like going through a drive-thru. It's a lifelong experience. It's an accountability to the Word of God. It's not just that, but being accountable to your church and your pastor. This woman, Syrophoenician woman, she had been with her daughter and tried caring for her. And no doubt, because the scripture lies out here that she was demon-possessed. Anybody here ever been around somebody that's been demon-possessed? Yeah, let's go this route. How many seen a demon-possessed person delivered in the past 10 years? Raise your hand. See, this is something to look for. 20 years. Past 20 years, I've seen it happen multiple times in my short 31 years of life. Past 20 years, anybody? How about past 30 years? See, there's only a couple of us. What would happen is we would find the person that was struggling, and we would plead for them and tell them that there is hope. And there is help. And there is healing. You just got to come to where it's already been paid for. Let me tell you, these altars are a sacred place. Jesus Christ, that just came from a position and a place. He was a man on a mission. He knew he only had a limited amount of time. He was fighting flesh. And he was walking in the Spirit. We find that Jesus Christ was at the point and he was walking down the road. And here come this woman, and she was pleading for her cause. The first thing we find that she had is she had a purpose. The first thing we've got to begin to realize is that we've got to begin to find our purpose in our current, amen, ministry position. Say, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a preacher, but you might be a brother or a sister or a father or a mother. Find your purpose and begin to chase after it and realize that you've been given a calling in your life. You need to have purpose. This mother had purpose. She went crying for her daughter, and she knew that her daughter couldn't get it for herself. I'm here to tell you, the generation that's coming up can't get it unless we show them, amen, by the mighty acts of God, that it's something worth pursuing. Why is it they're found more at the arcades than they are at the altar? It's because my generation has failed them and failed in showing them that there is a purpose for why I come to the house of God. There is a purpose why I'll stand and testify. There is a purpose why I'll get outside of my comfort zone in the middle of church, make a spectacle of myself just to give God praise. She cried after him and asked for mercy. When's the last time you got enough purpose in your heart and your life and realize that it's already been paid for. You just got to get the master's attention. Are you willing to make yourself an example in front of others and say, I realize that I haven't heard from God yet, but I'm going to have purpose in my heart. I'm going to be as David was and stand up and say, is there not a cause for this generation to experience revival? I'm going to tell you tonight, on a Sunday night in Calvary Lighthouse Church, around these altars, there is a cause. Amen. Let me tell you, that baby in that seat right there, amen, she's my cause. I want her to experience the power. I want her to see the demons cast out. I want her to see blinded eyes opened. I want her to see great works. And it's all going to start by me having purpose. The second thing she did is she was persistent. She was faithful. It's easy to make an excuse and say, well, I just don't feel it. So we don't worship. This woman had been rejected. When was the last time you was rejected? Sometimes I think it'd be a good reality shake if you were just rejected from time to time. It makes us wake up. You tell you what, Brother Albert, if I'm trying to get my wife's attention and she doesn't pay me no mind, makes me check and see, did I miss something? Was there an anniversary? Birthday? What did I forget? Thankful we've never had those moments over those things. But if I'm not catching her attention, it makes me wonder, what did I do? What did I miss? But sometimes when we realize we're not getting God's attention, instead of trying to pursue and be persistent in knowing what we are called to do, we are called to be a Christian. Brother Grant, what are we called to be? We're called to be workers. We are called to witness. And we are called to worship. But, I haven't got his attention. So I'm going to go and do what I want to do. We begin to get self-will instead of God's will. And next thing we know, it's been 40 years. And we've been going around the same mountain, Sister Pepper. My shoes ain't wore out. My clothes ain't wore out. But my spirit ain't been fed. Everybody around me is dying like flies. But well, I'm still walking. Where are we at? We are at a time and a point. We are trying to reach. We are trying to rescue. We are wanting to see God reward. And He will reward us. It's already been paid for. I mean, it's already been promised. We got to be persistent in our worship, in our work, in our willingness to say, Lord, I want to be different. I want to step out. I want to break down the barriers. Amen. Just show forth. We all came in the flesh. Let's leave the flesh behind. Get into the Spirit. How do we do that? By moving, by breaking these fleshly chains and saying, I'm going to inconvenience myself and I'm going to be moved on by the power of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Man, it feels good up here. I don't know about out there. Persistence that she had. If it was your baby that was demon-possessed, if it was your child or your loved one that was lying in a bed, how persistent would you be? That's why Christ, we find in the Word of God, we find that they say, bear ye one another's burdens. But so many times, we want one person to bear all our burdens. That's a dangerous thing. I'm going to get off topic here for just a second. We want to try and find one person that we can pour everything we've got into. All our problems. We're like a, pardon my description here, but we're like a human sewage tank. We find them, Brother Rick, and we're like a leech. We attach them. We pull all the life they've got out. And then we open up and just spew all of our disgust upon them. And then we walk away. Man, I feel good. I feel great. What about the person you just left? We as Christians, if you believe in Jesus Christ, we are to help each other, lift each other up, not to be a boulder around the neck and cast into the sea. Sometimes we leave the conversation without saying, "Will you help me pray for this? Let's go to prayer and bind together," because in that moment, we take the pressure off the individual. We put it on who's already paid for it. And our faith is multiplied. Amen. It's quiet. It's okay. Third thing that she did, or that she got, is she received her vision. Because she was faithful in the purpose. She was active in her persistence. Sometimes we're only active in our persistence when everybody's watching. How many here's ever shouted when no one else was around? Done it on job sites, Brother Robert. Never forget, we're working on Brother Eugene Davis's house. Remember, that's just as clear as it was yesterday. It was in the second story, the house that was built in there. And Dad received a phone call, and a miracle had transpired. And Dad's up on the ladder, and he pitches the phone across the room, and off the ladder he goes, and it's telling me what's going on. The whole time he's shouting, I take off shouting, because God had brought forth a miracle. Because we were persistent in the purpose. And what happened when we did those two, tied those things together? Amen. The provision made its way. I'm here to tell you, it's been paid for. We find that Jesus Christ said that He came to heal the sick, to touch the blinded eyes. He wants to see the lepers healed. He wants to see, amen, the broken heart mended. He wants to trade, amen, your garment of destruction, amen, for a garment, amen, of rejoicing. It all comes in the middle of the night. When we're willing to take and to apply what God has already paid for. This woman didn't have to wait a year. She didn't have to wait 10 minutes. But it started right then and right there. Deliverance took place. It all happened because she was willing to follow the three steps. I ask you this question. Is this generation determined to secure freedom for the next generation? London, stand up there, baby. Stand up on the chair, hon. Hurry. Do I have anybody in here that's willing to secure freedom for this generation? Jansen, wave at me. This generation. Hey, Alan. Alan, wave at me, buddy. Wave at me. Say hi. There we go. He's waving in his own way. Do I have anybody here that's willing to have a purpose, to have perseverance, so that they might receive? That it might be fulfilled. Honey, I'm fixing to close. We find in Psalms that we need to praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. We begin to be persistent, have a purpose in our worship. We will always see the provision. The Lord doeth built up Jerusalem. He gathered together all the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken hearts. He bindeth up their wounds. And He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Now, Sister Pepper, I'm going to pull on something here. And I don't know if you remember this or not. But can you remember whenever I first started coming around the family, we coined the term of who we was. We were a certain group. Do you remember what that group was? We were the outcast. I've always took pride in that. That's who we are. The outcast. Looking for the broken. Looking for the hurting. To show them there is a purpose. If we're willing to be persistent, we will receive provision. Joshua and Caleb, they were men that was willing to pave the way. They were the only two out of 12 that said, the reward is worth it. It's worth everything that we're going to put out on the field. It wasn't just men. There was women. Sister April, we had Ruth. We had Esther. They were willing to put everything on the line and show forth and being persistent and looking for the provision. But it takes us rising up and saying, I will be the one that realizes that it's already been paid for. I'm closing here if the church would stand. He was Daniel in the lion's den. The three Hebrew boys, they looked up to him. No doubt when that encounter happened to him, they said, hey, it's worth going through the fire. The things that we overcome in this generation will provide for them the faith in the midst of their trial. I have heard stories of pastors like Brother D.C. Branham. I've heard stories of Brother Bob Goodwin. Heard stories of a man that just passed. I knew him growing up, Brother Joyce Wallace. The miracles that they seen. The miracles that my grandfather, Jack Sanders, had seen at his hand. The prayers that I seen answered from my grandpa Goff as he would pray. And as he would speak something that he didn't even know if it was going to happen, but God had promised him. He told me as I was a child, Brother Matthew, he said, you are going to be called to preach. And I laughed at him. I said, no, Grandpa. I'm going to be a cowboy. I'm going to be a farmer. It's because of that man's faith. He was willing to look into the future and see that it was already bought and paid for. Go through my life. As I watched my brother Eamon struggle day in and day out with heart trouble because he had a caved-in chest. Couldn't run, couldn't play like the rest of us because it felt like his heart was being ripped from his chest. Couldn't remember nights we as a family would sit in the living room weeping, cries. My brother would bawl because he couldn't breathe. Mama, my chest hurts. Mama, I can't breathe. Daddy, do something. I remember one night, Brother Rickus, we were just being persistent because we had a purpose. Praying for my brother. It was my mom and dad and me was the only ones left up. And as he walked behind him and closed the door, turned around, busted back in, and said, Mama, Daddy, my chest popped when I closed the door, and I can breathe. My heart feels fine. I can remember as my baby sister was out there on a swing on a Sunday afternoon that I'd built over a rock pile. Swung off this hill out into this opening where there were big rocks, and she fell, and she broke her arm right above the elbow, and instantly, Brother Rick, it was bad. All swollen up, black and blue. See the blood just rushing in there. Excruciating pain. So we gathered her up and carried her into the house. Daddy looked at her and said, "Honey, your arm is broke. We're going to have to go to the hospital." Famous words all us kids had growing up was, "Oh, before we go, can we pray?" As my dad looked at two friends of mine that had came from church that day, he looked at Adam and Adam and Jeremy. He said, "Do you guys believe in healing, in divine healing? Because if you don't, I can't have you in here while we pray. I have to ask you to step outside." One of the boys dismissed himself. We begin to bind in prayer. And I watched Pastor before my eyes as that arm went from purple and broken and distorted as the swelling just quickly, as fast as it rose, just dissipated. And the full use of the arm was brought back instantly. I know how much money my folks had. Wasn't enough to pay for a bill like that. God came through. I can go down the list of family members of mine that's been in devastating car accidents, life-altering events. And God has reached through the fire as it came forth this morning in tongues interpretation, reaching into the fire. Pulling those back. We've got to have, amen, and realize that it's been paid for and that there is purpose, persistence, and provision. But we've got to be willing to be active in those. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. Somebody here in the sanctuary or somebody that might be watching this. But I just got to tell you this. It's time to move now. Because tomorrow is too late. What would have happened if that mother would have decided, "I'll try and catch Jesus on a day where he's not so busy"? Her daughter might not have survived. It's time right now, church, that we become the church. We become the congregation that's willing to move as one unit. We practice something in our encounter services. I'm fixing to call everyone to the altar. As we encourage them to pray one for another. The girls for the girls and the young men for the young men. To bear up each other in prayer. Here tonight, I want us, as this is my altar call, I want you to come to this altar and I want you to begin to intercede for your loved ones. I want you to begin to intercede for the lost and the hurting in our church and in our community. And when you get done praying for all that, I want to challenge you to pray for your pastors. Brother Pepper and Sister Pepper, they carry a burden and fight a fight that you never see. Begin to bear them up the way they bear you up through the week. And then when you get done with that, if you see someone that's still praying, it's time that we build an altar worker tonight. Because it's already been paid for. Sometimes all it is, Brother Charles, is someone placing their hand on our shoulder and reminding us, "I'm here. It's been paid for. You've got a purpose. You've got a plan." Let's begin to come around these altars tonight. Find ourselves renewed in the presence of the Holy God.